Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Viewpoints podcast series on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel with my colleague, Burkhard Varnholt. Burkhard, welcome back. As always, it is great to catch up with you. I know today you're joining us from Qatar, so let's perhaps spend some time on that. Sounds very interesting a bit later in the conversation. Though to begin, have to, of course, talk about the markets a bit. I know there has been a bit of a market rout as of late. Tech stocks, Bitcoin, oil prices, all contributing factors leading the markets lower, and investors seem to be nervous. So what do you make of these recent market moves, Burkhard?
A great question, Dan, and good to be back. Thanks for having me. Look, fundamentally, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, markets are all about earnings and interest rates. And the way I see this, with 92% of the reporting season behind us, Q3 is another quarter for the history books. We've seen record earnings, and they were rising in 10 out of 11 S&P sectors. On a same company basis, the S&P 500 earnings rose 16.9% year on year in Q3. That marks its ninth straight quarter of positive year on year earnings growth and its fourth of double digit percentage gains. EPS of the S&P, so earnings per share, are now at $304. The overall profit margin is at 13.7%. These are both all-time highs, and we have seen them climb to new all-time highs every single quarter since the end of the lockdown. Forward revenues for the S&P retail, by the way, also rose to new record highs, so Christmas shopping should be okay. There are no big surprises in inflation. The labor market is solid. Global infrastructure investments remain on a roll. And I know the bears, who've gained more prominence in the last few days, they moan that the hyperscalers inflate their profits by depreciating their expensive NVIDIA GPU chips too slowly. We'd reject that view. In fact, data centers, let's be frank, have existed before AI. In 2021, there were actually 4,000 of them in the U.S. just for cloud computing, and many of them are still operating today with older chips that have been fully depreciated and still work. The revenues and the earnings of the hyperscalers, they continue to rise exponentially while their depreciation expenses increase more linearly. And the other concern that has been around in markets in the last couple of days about cockroaches and private credit also sounds somewhat exaggerated to us. Remember that the top three U.S. banks just reported record low loan loss provisions. So far, loan losses pose no systemic risk from where we look at them and seem to be mostly concentrated in the small and subpar parts of lending. Oh, and by the way, let's not forget flash crashes, just in case this was to morph into one, are actually part of life. There was one last year in August. I remember others in 2019, 2016, 2015. Markets always recovered. Why? Because markets are about earnings. And, you know, markets aren't a bowl of cherries, as we all know. And next year, we still expect the S&P 500 to rise to around 7,700.
Very helpful clarity and thoughts there, Burkhard. Thank you very much for those reassuring words. Speaking of fundamentals, I suppose given the time of year, we should also touch upon this year's flagship publication from the Chief Investment Office, that being The World in 2026. Can you share with our audience what's in the report and why they should read it?
Oh, of course. Look, I think this is maybe the single most important annual publication where we try to bring together all our key convictions from around the world, long-term views, annual forecasts, and lessons learned from a turbulent year. So even if you're not a big reader of market research, then I suggest cut out the noise and focus on this one. It is concise, comprehensive, and very practical. It also addresses, and I like that, some of the most pertinent questions of our time in plain English, like how will governments manage rising debt? Or how will politics shape markets next year? And of course, can AI power markets even higher from here? And of course, where shall all the necessary energy come from to power it all? These are really important questions. I hear them very regularly. And what I like about this report that we're publishing here is its style, its brevity, the clarity, the practicality, and the very comprehensive set of forecasts that we publish at the end of the publication. And if you're still facing a busy week, I would strongly recommend that you put this one on the side and keep it for your Sunday morning reading list.
That's a good idea, Burkhard. Perhaps something our listeners can read into on perhaps a lazy Sunday morning. So before we wrap up for this week, let me ask you, Burkhard, for your takeaways from your current trip to Qatar. What did you see or hear that you think could be relevant for our audience?
Well, you know, in many ways, I find the Gulf economies some of the most interesting countries in the world these days. And let me be clear, that's not because of their glitzy lifestyles or the posh buildings. It's because of the profound socioeconomic transformation I see, which I think creates a wealth of opportunities for years to come. Consider, for example, how they moved to the pinnacle of a changing world order, how they've become beacons of peace diplomacy, geopolitics, and magnets for foreign direct investment. Yesterday, Saudi's Mohammed bin Salman had a lavish reception at the White House I followed. 2 weeks ago, President Trump made a point of stopping by in Doha, where I'm today, just to see the Emir of Qatar ahead of his Asia trip. But what I see on the ground are changes that I feel are as significant as what I saw in China during the 1990s. And, you know, while China rose from almost zero to become really big, the GCC are, of course, starting from a high point, so I can make allowance for them. But then again, starting from a high point, be clear, is no guarantee for anything. We all know the curse of resources. Think of Africa, Venezuela, or Iran. And here's what I see in the Gulf economies. Their tremendous rise in power, I think, must reflect, and I see that, a good grip on governance. It may be a different governance from ours, but I would say they run their countries like a company, measuring government performance against KPI every month, publishing it. They have a highly educated elite, social and political, and they hire the best, regardless of nationality. They use their wealth to attract not only people, but also technology and international joint ventures from all over the world. They leverage diplomacy also to serve their business interests, their promoters of peace, also because they seek to serve these large, underserved consumer markets in all their neighborhood. Their rise of power is an opportunity, I think, for many. And investors who take an interest should probably not just pick their stock markets. They're still quite linked to fossil fuels, but really emphasize the unlisted ventures. Think hospitality, think clean energy, think media, think healthcare, think fast-moving consumer goods. All these things I've been seeing every time I'm here, and this is a big wave lifting many boats. It's history in the Gulf, I believe, and the wider Middle East on top of it. And it looks to me like a promising chapter for many.
Well, very interesting to always hear about these boots on the ground insights. And Burkhard, thank you for joining us this week to cover with our listeners a wide array of topics, from volatile markets, our outlook on the year ahead, to an update from the Gulf. With that, Burkhard, I hope you have a safe trip home, and do, as always, look forward to our next conversation, and do enjoy your Sunday morning reading tip. I'm looking forward to diving into it myself.
Well, absolutely. Thank you very much. It's always great to be here with you. All the best. Have a good rest of the day and catch up again soon. Thanks for now.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/working with us. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.